Hello, and welcome to Famicast 119, your Famicast for the early part of February 2018. I'm Danny Bivens, and today I'm joined by James Charlton.
Today's podcast is rated M for mature.
Yeah, watch out, kids. Speaking of that, okay, not really. Ty's with us, too.
I am with us.
Yes. And
someone not quite with us.
Yeah, back from the dead and maybe still on death's doorstep, Cyrus Delaney.
Yeah, the jury is still out. We'll see how it goes by the end of the show.
Okay.
Can you catch Evola from listening to podcasts?
I'm going to make damn my best effort at it anyway.
I hope so.
Just so everyone can experience Evo from home.
Yeah, so if you ever go to Evo, beware of the Evola. It's real. One of our members fell victim to it, so be very careful.
Hey, that's why they have the alcohol spray for the hands, right?
Yes, Cyrus, you never wash your hands, man.
That's the problem. It's that time I went to the bathroom with all those pro players, filthy animals.
Yeah, well.
Oh, man. I straight up saw people, like, just finishing playing, like, an arcade cabinet, and then, like, sitting on the floor and then eating some, like, McDonald's with their hands. And I was just like, yeah, that guy's dead by tomorrow. He's dead. He probably is dead. Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace.
I shouldn't talk ill of the dead. I'm sorry about that.
Should not. All right, well, man, you know, it seems like there's the Famicast curse is a thing. There's been just a ton of news that's come out over the past couple of weeks since we've had a regular show. So we're definitely going to get to that. But before we do that, we're going to go ahead and hit up new business as usual right now. James, would you mind starting out for us?
You're welcome. We should say you're welcome. You know, Famicast curse. I don't want to call it a curse anymore.
Okay.
Blessing.
Hey,
what are we doing? New business?
New business.
All right, okay. Let's start with new business then. What's been going on? Well, I've been playing every single game on my Switch, but that's for something I'll talk about a bit later. But in terms of new games, totally new games, well, I don't actually have any totally new games. I've got a new old game. It's an old game that's new to me. And that is Overcooked.
Nice. Now
I got this from the Japanese eShop, which it's been in like the top five since its release. It's incredible. I knew it was popular in the West. And I actually didn't even know it was localized until it came out on the Switch, and it was on the Japanese eShop, you know, and it was like really, really popular. I was like, wow, this is crazy. So I was looking for a game, because like the university semester is finished now. All Japanese university students are done basically until like April. So I wanted to have a game that, you know, I could play with my students, like, you know, the end of the semester. Something that was like, I mean, we usually play like Mario Kart and stuff, but to be honest, I'm getting a bit bored of Mario Kart. Sure. And Smash isn't out on the Switch yet. So I was like, yeah, something multiplayer, something maybe even cooperative would be cool. And then Overcooked just looked like such an obvious choice. It was like, it's simple, it's cute. Anyone can immediately play it because we've got non-gamers in the class as well. Obviously, not everyone likes video games in Japan. Only 98% of people in Japan like video games.
Right.
So, you know, you have to cater to those, you know, three people. And so, yeah, Overcooked, I mean, I've always been interested in it. And I know that it's a multiplayer only game. What, you can play it by yourself, but it's like, you know, what's the point kind of thing.
Okay.
In case someone doesn't know what Overcooked is, it's obviously it's a multiplayer cooperative cooking game. And of course, you can dick around, you can dick people over and, you know, make it... you know, as with any co-op game, you know, you don't have to be nice. You know, you can dick around if you want. There's a kind of a dash function that you can kind of knock into people. But it's basically just a two-button game. It's just like pick up and drop, which is A, and then there's action, which is like chop or wash or whatever. You know, so there's two buttons. Literally anyone can understand it and, you know, the directions. So, yeah, like it pretty much works best, like the more people you have, And like it's still fun in two player. I did play a couple of like two player matches, but like we're mostly playing it in four player. And I actually captured some of our gameplay and put it on the YouTube channel. The commentary totally fucked up, so it's just the game music, unfortunately. Just me kind of mouthing words in the corner. it's a shame actually, because we were like talking about lots of stuff, and I was like, you know, people were like translating stuff from Japanese into English, so you could have like learned some stuff like Japanese from it and stuff. So it was a bit of a bummer it didn't work out, but everyone really liked it. Like the non-gamers and gamers, everyone liked it. We had some, you know, like, you know, man, I'd rather be playing Monster Hunter World guys in the class, obviously, because literally almost everybody is playing Monster Hunter World, in case people didn't realize that. Like, it's mental. But, like, even those guys were having fun. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's also out on PS4 and, well, Xbox. But what's the point of talking about that in Japan?
Yeah.
Ty, it's out on Xbox. There you go. I've now told the entire community.
Rad. Never gets old.
So, like, it starts off, like, I mean, are we all completely familiar with it?
Pretty much. I mean, I've had my eye on it, but I've never played it. But, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, basically, you know, you start off, and it's just, like, you're making onion soup. So you get an onion out of a box, you chop it up, you put it into a pot, and you have to have three onions in the pot to make the soup. And once it's cooked, you put it on a plate, and you put it to the exit counter that serves it to the customers. Mm-hmm. After a while, the plate will come back dirty. You wash it up, and you know you can do it all again. But all of this is like nonstop. So you've always got orders coming in. So you're always got stuff to do. You know, you're not just sitting there waiting. You know, you have to be like in constant motion, kind of thing, if you want to get the highest score. Yeah, and it's like, you know, like 3 stars. You know, to get the best score, you need 3 stars, right? And so it starts off simple, and then it'll be like onion and tomato soup. So like some customers want tomato, some customers want onion. So then you've got to make sure you've got the right vegetable in the right pot. And then it gets harder and harder. And then what they'll do is they'll keep the recipes the same, but then like the shape of the stage will change. So it'll make it very narrow kitchen. So like you can only go one way around the kitchen. You can't pass each other. So it's like, I need to get to the left side of the kitchen. You have to kind of make a whole loop around. And so you really have to be like coordinating. You have to actually talk to people and say like, I'm going to get this, you get that. So you don't like, you know, fuck each other up, you know. And then it gets exponentially harder when burgers come into it. Because with burgers, you've got tomatoes, you've got lettuce and onions and meat. And with and the bread, I might have said too many things there. One of those is probably not in the burger, but anyway, there's four things to think. Yeah, the bread is definitely there. So you have to cook the meat. So you have to chop the vegetables, and you have to actually prepare the meat as well. Not chop the meat, but like, you know, whatever you do, hit it, make it into
hit that meat.
What do you call it, man? I don't eat meat. What do you call it when you prepare the meat?
Yeah, that's fine. That'll
you
work.
Prepare it with you hammer it until it goes into a round shape, and then you fry it. So then you've got like, you know, four fryers, like four frying pans on at once, you know. And you know, obviously things can burn if you cook it too much. You know, things burn. So you have to keep an eye on like, you know, how much is cooking. So it's all about like coordination. It's like, well, you could say like, okay, I'll be in charge of frying. You do the vegetables. You do the bread or whatever. Or you could just do like just do a burger each. You know, you fry yourself, you do the vegetables yourself. You could, you know, there's lots of ways you could do it. I mean, I'm sure there's like high level Overcooked play, which has worked out the best way to do all that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, this was I bought it the morning of the day we were going to play it. So like literally in the morning, I woke up and I was like, okay, Overcooked, download. Download's done. Okay, let's go to work. And then, well, work in quotation marks. Let's go to my school. And then, you know, I was new to it as much as my students, right? So, but, you know, by the end of the day, you know, we're doing pretty well. It's pretty cool. We're getting 3 stars, you know, got to like, you know, the second world. It's kind of a little cute little overworld map that you've got that lets you select the stages and stuff. So it was cool. Like, and obviously the gamers in the class were, you know, they got it faster and they were, you know, better at it, obviously. But like, it was really interesting seeing, like, you know, the gamers and non-gamers kind of like helping each other out and actually, you know, getting better at the game and helping each other get better at the game and stuff. It was really cool. It actually made me think, man, maybe I could like teach a lesson about English using video games. That might be pretty cool. But anyway, because they were using a lot of Japanese, obviously. So, you know, there was a mixture of languages going on. So yeah, it was just like, it was so much fun. Maybe I haven't actually said that word yet. By the way, this game is really fun. And if you, I would say, like, Danny, if you were thinking about it getting and you're only going to play with your wife, I'd say it would still be fun. Okay. Like, two player is still fun. Like, if you both get it and you're both into it, it is totally fun, even with just two people. And then on the off chance you've got a third player and a fourth player, it'll get, you know, more fun. And I think I would say, like, having two people who are really good at it, you know, you'd do fine. You know, you wouldn't, you might actually do better than four people who don't know what they're doing, yeah, for example, or two people, you know, that know what they're doing and another two kind of running around, getting in your way, being idiots, you know, that might actually make it worse, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So, but yeah, it's totally cool. And I actually, at home, I played it with my son as well. You know, he's only six. And he got to it quite quickly as well. He like, obviously with kids, you know, they take it a lot more, like, it becomes very real to them very quickly. It's like, you know, like people like panicking, you know, like not gonna burn stuff and stuff, you know. It's kind of cute, you know. But yeah, it's really good. I mean, it teaches all sorts of things, like coordination, you know, like communication and stuff. Like, unfortunately it's not online at all. There's absolutely no online modes whatsoever, you know. Which is, I don't know. I mean, it would work. Obviously, you'd need a voice chat. you know, just play the laughter soundtrack at that point. yeah, if you had good voice chat, it would work as well, obviously. But yeah, absolutely. Awesome game for multiplayer. I think it's like 2,500 yen, I think it is. So it's okay. A little bit more than the usual, you know, indie game, which is usually around, you know, 20 bucks, 2,000 yen. It's a little bit more, but, you know, I'd say it's good. It's worth it. Yeah. But don't get it if you're only going to be playing it on your own. I think it would be a complete waste of time. you can actually choose multiple characters by yourself. And then you press L and R to switch between them.
Oh, wow. So
you can put like one guy at the right and then, you know, fry stuff and then just like switch over to the other side and then, you know, and switch between them like that. I tried that for like one game and it was not fun. It was very slow going and just felt laborious kind of thing. It's weird how much, it's the same gameplay. You're doing the same stage, the same gameplay, but just when you're by yourself, it just felt like a completely different game. Just felt like, wow, this is not fun. You know, it was very weird. So yeah, there you go. That's Overcooked. I almost said Overwatch.
Same thing.
Sounds about the same.
Yeah, high level ranked play in Overcooked. No, let me tell you, Jesus.
Yeah, catch me in that Overcooked league.
right, exactly. Get those mad skins, bro, from the loot crates.
It's probably more cursing if that's such a thing was possible.
Yeah. I mean, Danny playing Overcooked, Jesus Christ. Sailors would blush.
Yeah, I can get a little angry at video games sometimes.
Yeah, in case listeners don't know, Danny's not only the worst loser, he's also the worst winner.
Am I the worst winner?
It's like, no matter what happens, he's going to swear or do something that makes him look like a complete tool.
So it's my game, baby.
You're welcome.
All right.
Right then. Next.
Yeah, next. How about Cyrus? How about you go next, man?
Let's get cooking.
Yeah. God. So as has been alluded to, after Evo a couple of weeks ago, I promptly got very, very sick. And so I haven't really been playing much. Like, I've been holed up in my bed, and I had my Switch beside me, and every time I turned it on, it was just like, I would prefer to do literally anything except try and play games right now.
Wow, that bad.
It was really bad. Like, and even, like, at Evo, all of the Famer crew very kindly got me a pro controller for the Switch. So I've been like dying to use that in Doom or whatever.
And, you're just holding it in your hands, just like twiddling the sticks.
Yeah, it's kind of, because it's a really nice controller. It's like really heavy and meaty. And I think I played Doom with it for like 30 minutes and then it was like, okay, I need to go to sleep again.
Just using the rumble feature to massage your painful joints.
Yeah, but so the only thing I really played is Shu, which is Shu. This is a cute little like indie platformer game that I'd kind of seen floating around, but it came across my desk and I finally sat down to play it.
Oh, you played this before Evo, before you got sick and everything, right?
Yeah, it was in progress review before Evo, and then it just had to be put on the shelf. And this is not a game I don't think I would have played had I not been like reviewing it, but I always saw the screenshots and I thought it's got a really kind of nice cartoony art style that I wanted to check out. And I really enjoyed this game. It's a pretty short run through with a lot of padding if you want it, but it's
I think I played this at TGS, right? I think I talked about it on the TGS episode.
Yeah,
it's like all the characters linked together, and they've all got different abilities, right? Yeah, I remember talking about that.
So yeah, it's like the game at its core is a really simple platformer where you've got this little bird dude who can all he can do is jump, and he can hover a bit in the air. And as you play the game, you're supposed to be like rescuing all of your scattered village mates who are around the world. And as you collect each villager, they give you their ability. So, like, one villager will be able to run on water, one will be able to wall bounce, or whatever. So, right. The game is kind of broken up into little chapters that focus on collecting two villagers at a time. So you'll, with every zone or every world you're in, will have these two unique abilities. So it's kind of like if you were playing a Mario game and you only got, like, the cat suit for a few levels, and then you only got the like Tanuki suit or whatever. And some of these abilities are really good, some of them are really bad. So it's kind of hit or miss, but overall it's very cool and very like simple and very kind of intuitive how all of the abilities work, which is nice. One thing I really didn't like is like as you get to the end of the game, it forces you to revisit all of the abilities again that you've picked up throughout the game. But again, only two at a time. So you like pick up the two villagers again, then you drop them, then you get the two new guys. But by the time you've gotten to the end of the game, you've kind of forgotten about these old abilities because they never show up outside of their little world. Hmm. And they force you to use them very quickly. Like there's these sections where the game like switches from being this really sedate, slow platformer, and then in this really terrifying game design, which is like shocked me how scary it was when I first playing. The screen will just flash black, and the words "run" will appear in block capitals on the screen, and then the music switches, and suddenly it's no longer like a slow exploration platformer. It's like a run as fast as you can, or this thing chasing you will kill you.
Yeah.
Kind of platformer.
It does have the look of a runner at times.
It does switch to almost feel like a runner, where you can't stop, and if you stop, you will die.
Hmm.
In parts, which so the problem with the abilities is in the later levels where it forces you to switch between them a lot. Then you have this on top of it where you're like being forced to run, and you don't have any time to learn how to use your abilities again. There was one section, it was only about like a couple of minutes, but it was very frustrating where I couldn't remember how to use one of my abilities.
Oh, fun.
And, And I just kept dying because I'm like, I know I'm supposed to use it to do this thing, but I literally don't know what the button combination is to use this ability. And that was kind of frustrating, but you get over it pretty quick once you remember how to do it. But yeah, the game kind of ticks along. You could probably finish it in about a couple of hours. It's a pretty short game.
Oh, okay.
And and I really, really liked it. Just going through that one little short play, you can go back and like pick up, there's like a million collectibles hidden around the levels too.
Right.
And there's like time attacks, and you get like an icon if you can beat it without without losing a life or all this other stuff. So there's padding to be had if you want it. But
it does remind me of like the Rayman Legends game, and there was also like a mobile version which was a runner, I think. Kind of reminds me of that at times.
It has a very Rayman-esque kind of platforming quality to it, where it's very floaty jumps. You can like
right.
basically hang in the air and move left and right. You've got a huge amount of control in the air.
From a quick show of hands, does anyone like the Rayman Legends games or Rayman games in general?
I liked Rayman 2 on the Dreamcast, but...
I just never understood any of the love for those games. I think they're all garbage.
I think they look fine visually, especially, you know, Origins and Legends and all that. I think they look great. It's just something about kind of like the floaty controls that I don't like. But at the same time, like, I like Donkey Kong Country, and, you know, those kind of have floaty controls. But then again, it's with the character that I like.
Donkey Kong doesn't have floaty controls. What are you talking about? They've the new ones?
No. I'm talking like the old ones.
Like Dunk Country and whatever.
Floaty. But it's just
I see what you mean. I can
different from Mario, I would give you that, but not floaty.
Okay. Whatever.
They have that kind of momentum where like with Donkey Kong you're kinda always rolling forward, and I kinda get that with Rayman, but
yeah.
So Shu is more like that.
Yeah, Shu would be very like Rayman. That was the first thing, even the they teach you very cleverly without any on-screen prompts how to play the game, and they do that a lot by putting a chain of pickups. Like, so they will like if you play a lot of Rayman games, they put those little glowy things everywhere that indicate where you're supposed to jump and what you're supposed to do. Shu leans on that a lot, where it like uses the generic pick up 500 of these things and then dots them around the level. Brilliant. And it shows you how to jump on stuff and the optimal routes for some things.
Gotcha. So you're okay with it?
I think Rayman's pretty fun, but only if you play with four players.
Hmm. I forgot those games have four players.
Yeah.
The Legends / Origins ones?
Right. Yeah. I played it a little bit. Yeah, it's not very fun by yourself, but it's fun with a lot of people. Okay. That sounds familiar somehow.
Hey, there you go. So there's an episode title somewhere in there. We'll get there.
All right.
The one thing that I will take against Shu is that it's got this...
what did I do?
it's the art style is like all the backdrops in the game are gorgeous. They've got like they're all 3D, but they've got this kind of really stylized painted look to them. And then your characters are these cool little, they're tiny little 2D sprites, but they are really under animated. Like they look really pretty in screenshots, but when it's moving, it feels like everything should have at least twice as many frames of animations as it does.
So it's a little bit poverty.
It's a little bit poverty, but it's like a little bit of like, they literally only needed two or three more like run frame animations, and you're staring at this run cycle the entire game. It seems like such a strange thing to just not give it just a little bit more love on these parts, that it would have made the game presentation so much nicer. But I don't know, they were clearly going for something, and I don't think it worked.
Oh man, you just reminded me. Actually, I don't think I said this at the TGS episode. It was slightly embarrassing, but like I was playing this game at TGS, and I played like a bit of it, and I just kind of like put it down quite quickly and quite abruptly, and then I was talking to like the PR guy or whatever, And I was like, yeah, that's fine, I guess. And then, the guy's like, oh, let me just introduce the creator of this game. And he was standing right next to me, watching me play it. I was like, that was quite embarrassing. But for him, anyway. Good times. So Shoe, available now on the eShop.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Review coming soon.
Yes. As soon as I dig myself out of my blankets.
Yes. Oh, talking of digging.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and go next. So one game I have been playing recently is SteamWorld Dig. Not two. That. Not SteamWorld Heist. Dig. Right. Yeah, it came out just on the Switch just here, I think, last week, and we got a review code, so I've been kind of going through that a little bit.
Imogen Form, they've recently changed their name, friends of the show.
Yeah, yeah, good friends.
Best friends, even. 10 points for anyone who can remember what their new name is.
Thunder.
They combined with the only two.
They combined with Zoink Games, the guys that did, Jesus, another game I reviewed. Stick It to the Man, and like they're working on Faye and a couple other games like that.
They're both from Sweden or Denmark or Europe. Something like that. Yeah. And they just combined.
Yeah. This is still branded as Imogen Form, though. But
yeah, it just happened. And
anyway, so yeah, with SteamWorld Dig, I mean, you guys have played the original one, right? Most of us here?
3DS version.
Okay. So no Cyrus, no Ty on that.
Nope. Really?
Okay. Yeah, I also played it on 3DS, not maybe just a few months after it came out back in 2013. And yeah, holy crap. I was just completely blown away. I mean, you think that going into a game that's about just digging and then just, you know, coming back up and sharing your loot and just getting deeper and deeper into like this cave system. It doesn't sound like it's that fun. Like if you just say it like that, maybe, but there's something about like when you're actually digging, it's kind of satisfying, especially the more powerful like your pickaxe gets and just the deeper you go, the more crap that you can bring up, you know, the more upgrades you get to your character. It's really fantastic. Probably more so than it has any right to be, but it's really fun.
If you got OCD, it's great, isn't it? Like that kind of like you have to keep digging a little bit more before you can go to bed.
Yes.
And you do have OCD, Danny, so.
Yeah, to some things.
You must love it.
Like, whenever I see, like, for example, somebody writes Wii U and they don't put a space between the Wii and the U, it just drives me bananas. And I'm not even joking. I'm being absolutely serious.
Okay, mental note. Make frequent emails to Danny concerning Wii U games.
I will send them back to you in, like, a Microsoft Word document that has, like, you know, edits and stuff. Like, fix here, fix here, fix here.
Coming to find and replace.
Anyway, so yeah, I think with this I've played for about an hour or so right now, and just, you know, kind of upgrading the pickaxe, and I think I got through like the first cave, and still kind of making my way through, and yeah, I'm just amazed that I forgot like how fast, like, you know, Rusty can kind of travel around, and like the wall jumps and stuff too. I mean, you can get out of that cave pretty darn fast just even by just doing that.
Yeah, you get the wall jump like immediately, right?
Yeah, it's just right there. The only thing you have to get like right off the bat is the pickaxe, which takes like, you know, 2 seconds. You get up your dead uncle's body.
So does it look, because they actually said in the press release that like we have done literally nothing to this game. It's the original as it is, no extras. Like, does it look more like more poverty compared to the second one? Because like, you know, I just revisited the second one to do the video review, which I'm sure you watched, Danny.
I did, actually.
Like, does it look like noticeably worse? Like, because, you know, the second one is so polished, so, you know, fancy looking. Does it look, but this is like the HD version, which we haven't played. You know, we played the 3DS one. So exactly. You went from 3DS to this. Is it like, holy shit, so much better, clearer?
It does look a lot clearer. I do miss the 3D, you know, aspect of the 3DS version.
Oh, shit, it was in 3D?
Wasn't it?
I don't remember that.
I think it was. I might be wrong. Now, oh, man, now I'm like 50-50. Maybe I'm not remembering that right.
But I missed the 3D. Was it in 3D?
Wasn't I playing it on 3DS? Ah! no, yeah, it looks fine. But, I mean, yeah, if you compare it to SteamWorld Dig 2, I mean, SteamWorld Dig2Dis has so much more stuff going on. I think maybe a little bit better animation. Not to say that any of the stuff is bad with SteamWorld Dig1. It's fine.
Well, the variety, there's a lot more variety and levels in SteamWorld Dig2, but not to say that SteamWorld Dig1 did have some cool stuff right near the end, right?
Well, I guess
you're not there yet, but like, yeah. I guess the initial bits are kind of like a bit bland, aren't they?
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, I beat it like, you know, on the 3DS as well, so I know how just things change the deeper and deeper you go down. It's kind of surprising, actually, because I just figured it would all be the same, but no, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it does surprise you, doesn't it? Like, you think, wow, like, shit, this is in this game. It's like, it really takes you by surprise, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not spoiling anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my only complaint about the game really is that combat's just kind of just eh. But I mean, that's not the point, but just sometimes when you have to fight the little bugs or, you know, something like that, it's just kind of annoying sometimes. I just want to explore, you know.
It's like Zelda 2 combat.
Yeah, kind of. You got a little tiny...
Hit and walk away, you know.
Exactly. You have very tiny reach and yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm working my way through that. So that's pretty cool. Should have a review up kind of soon. And I want to do a little bit of talk about Blossom Tales that I touched on last time.
Oh,
just some wrap-up talk. I did beat the game. You know, we have a review up on YouTube, a review up on the site. And man, you can get some really cool abilities in that game.
Nice.
I don't want to like spoil anything, but I mean, there's this one ability that you get that because you can get like a boomerang, you can get like, you know, bow and arrow, you know, the standard like Zelda type of stuff, right?
Yeah, it looks exactly like the Link to the Past boomerang. Like, holy shit.
Yes.
Like they just stole the sprite.
Yeah, it's blue.
The way it moves, everything is literally Link to the Past. It's crazy.
Yeah. And like even in that in Blossom Tales, that's really powerful because that like kills enemies, not just like stuns them, it kills them.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Which is cool. But yeah, there's some other weapons that are really great and different.
So it's got abilities that are not in any Zelda game. Is that what you're saying? Is that why it was surprising? Yeah. Oh, cool. That's cool.
It's like cool, like magical stuff. Some things are kind of nods to what you would see in A Link to the Past, but then like you said, some things that maybe like enemies would have like in A Link to the Past, and all of a sudden you have it. It's great.
Nice. Yeah, I'm super jealous you got the review for this. It looks so much fun.
It was cool. I mean, I'm not going to say any spoilers about any of the bosses, but they're part of like the best part of the game. I mean, they're really fun. They're huge. They're really beautifully animated.
Did you finish it?
Yeah. I finished it.
So how many hours like to the end?
Well, I saw like average, you could probably finish it in like between 8 to 10 hours, but I was kind of grabbing some stuff and trying to get as many abilities and crap as I can. So I think I did 10, maybe 15 between that.
Wow,
abilities are optional. You don't have to get everything.
You don't need everything because some items you might need to like go into a dungeon or maybe not even that. I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't think you could do like a naked run through this game, but you could probably do something pretty damn near close and still be fine.
That's how I play Zelda games. I mean, I get all the items, but I do a naked run. Do you need the like the bosses require the item to kill it kind of thing, like Zelda style, or you can use any item you want to kill the boss? Or
I was usually coincidentally using like the most powerful item, or usually maybe the most recent item that I got on the bosses just for that, because sometimes they can be kind of tough and I didn't want to die. I didn't want to have it, you know, if it had anything on like my save data, or, you know what I mean? Like in Link to the Past or something. That wasn't a thing as far as I know.
Because like in Link to the Past, you literally need the hammer to defeat a boss, right? You literally need the boomerang. You literally need that whatever item, right?
It doesn't. If that's the case, it's not always obvious. On one boss, okay, I'm thinking of one thing where you had to use a combination of like bombs and then arrows, and it's pretty clear, like how you need to do this type of a thing.
Blow something off and then hit it with the arrows from a distance, right? Classic Zelda.
Well,
but it's funny because like the last two Zelda games, is it Breath of the Wild and Link Between Worlds? Are they the last two Zelda games?
Yes.
Getting that right? But they've totally gone away from the you need X item to defeat Y boss, right? Like you can use anything you want on any boss you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't played Link Between Worlds, but that's what I heard. Like, there's no.
Oh, you can do that without playing any of the weapons.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So they've. I think from now on, Zelda's kind of not going to do that anymore. I assume anyway. Mm-hmm. So you're saying this is maybe a little bit more towards the classic Zelda in that sense, maybe.
A little bit more, but I think the particular boss I was talking about, like, I think at the time, bombs and arrows were the only extra weapons that I had. So, like, maybe that was why, like, you know, that was the thing. But
do you have to pick up bombs to recharge them? Or is it, like, infinite recharging ones?
Exactly. It's just like Link Between Worlds, where you have, you know, a magic meter, and it uses just magic whenever you're using, like, items like that. So that's really nice. You don't have to worry about finding bombs in the grass and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, it looks super cute, super nice, this game.
Blossom it's Tales. Great. And the whole presentation style of, you know, a grandpa telling the grandkids a story, it's adorable. It's really cool.
Nice.
And practical, too. Like, even when you start up the game, grandpa will be like, okay, and Lily had just done this, and now she's on her way to do this. So it's kind of like an unobtrusive way to kind of tell you what you've been doing and where you need to go next. So that was nice.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was a very clever little feature.
Yeah, so cool. if you like classic Zelda, this is, I'd say it's a pretty good game to give a shot. I think it's like 10 or 15 bucks. So
is this on like Steam and Switch?
It's only on Steam and Switch only, I believe.
Okay. That's a pattern I've noticed recently. Yeah. Steam and Switch.
Yeah.
Cool times.
Yes. All right. Well, Ty, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Dragon Ball mostly.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Dragon Ball FighterZ on not Nintendo Switch.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it'll come out. Whatever. It's the new fighting game hotness. It's already confirmed for Evo. We'll see if it takes the number one spot from Street Fighter. It might.
There's already a lot of scrub quotes going up, I noticed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, boy.
This game was designed for scrub quotes.
True story. Like you have people pouring in from all these other gaming communities, including the not fighting game community. And they're picking up their Dragon Ball game and they're finding out it's not Xenoverse, and they're getting like erased by pro combos and then
erased.
Getting real mad.
Oh man.
Why isn't it Xenoverse?
Is Xenoverse a fighting game?
Quotation marks?
Yeah.
Not really. Maybe only in the loosest sense of the word.
It's like a 3D brawler. It's, I don't know. I played
like
the most
recent Naruto game kind of thing. Like over the shoulder.
It's
lame.
Like, is it like a story thing? Like you beat people up to go to the next person kind of thing?
I mean, yeah, there's versus modes and stuff, but like, okay. I never spend a lot of time on Xenoverse.
Okay, because they are on Switch, aren't they?
And the second one, yeah.
They're doing quite well.
Yep. Ugh. Yeah, Japan. So
who's your main, then?
In this game, you pick three characters. And so my three characters right now that I'm working with are Android 21, Piccolo, and Vegeta.
Vegeta!
Excuse me?
Vegeta!
Kiss your mother with that mouth?
All right, Kakarot. I'm just going to start swinging my arms. And if you get hit, it's your own fault.
You dirty rat!
Yo, it's great, though.
I feel like I'm at some kind of convention that I accidentally walked into.
Well, I personally love the pioneer dub of Dragon Ball before they, you know, before Funimation took over. I think they have some really good quotes in there. You smell like toenails. That's one of my favorite.
No, I've like over the course of this game releasing, I've been reminded how bad the Japanese dub for Dragon Ball Z is. Like the guy who voiced, we probably just lost like half of our listener base, like, but the guy who voices the main character, like
Goku,
Goku is fucking, his voice in Japanese is so bad. It's like this really whiny, high pitched voice kid.
It's a woman, dude.
Yeah. Well, like is it supposed to be the same voice actor who played him when he was a child in old Dragon Ball?
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense, because, like, that voice does not fit that character anymore. And
yeah.
Pretty annoying, yeah. I switched mine to English, actually.
Wow. Yeah. I've never heard any person ever say, wow, turn off the Japanese and switch it to the English dub. I've never heard anyone ever say that for anything.
For your homework, everyone listening and James, you have to go listen to see what Goku sounds like in English and Japanese, because it's atrocious.
For the listeners, you can just maybe hear something right now.
Man, so that's good. It's the new hotness. Maybe it'll come out on Switch. Maybe I'll talk about it for like 3 consecutive years. We'll see.
Oh wow. Well, Ty, you've been like anticipating this game for what, like a year or something?
Yeah.
And like now it's out. Are you like overjoyed with excitement? Is this like Christmas 2 for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool. In a word, yes. Nice. And They announced the Evo lineup for this coming summer, for the one in America, of course, not the one we all just went to here in Japan.
The only one that matters.
Yes.
Yeah, and Marvel vs. Capcom, Infinite is out, Dragon Ball is in.
Wow.
Yes.
Rip in peace, deformed Chun-Li.
And I think it already sold Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite after like a week. Pretty sure. I'll have to check those numbers, but
wow. Oh, it's sold. Okay, wow.
If it hasn't already, it definitely will.
Well, didn't Pokken and Arms outsell those games anyway?
Yeah, probably.
It's like, you know, join the list, you know, join the
yeah. But it's kind of sad, like Marvel vs. Capcom has been an Evo mainstay since the very very beginning. In like, I don't know, 2000 whatever year, maybe so even like, before that.
So it's like an end of an era kind of thing. It's like a little bit bittersweet, you know, waving goodbye to Marvel vs. Capcom games forever.
Yeah, I think we should all go back to Marvel vs. Capcom 2, the way Smash players still play Melee.
Okay.
Right, the one true Marvel vs. Capcom.
There you go. If you're listening, Mr. Evo, make it happen.
Mr. Wizard.
There you go.
That's his handle.
Yeah, I knew that.
All right. And I've played a little bit of Hotline Miami, which is actually coming to the Switch, I believe. What's the deal there?
Hotline Miami? The first
Hotline
one?
Hotline Miami, yes.
I vaguely remember seeing that. Yeah, what the hell is the deal? That's a very good question, Ty.
Yeah, I looked. Apparently it is coming.
Maybe they're trying to slot it in like a competitive or a not so competitive place so they can make sure it sells gangbusters. I don't know.
Well, maybe. Selling on the Switch seems to be the way to sell gangbusters at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've only played like the first, you know, like half dozen levels or something, but it's fun. I definitely appreciate the difficulty. It's paced very much like Super Meat Boy, where you just retry really fast after dying instantly.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys haven't played it. It's kind of like a top-down game where you're a hitman and you burst into an apartment and kill everyone.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't played it, but I'm pretty familiar with it, yeah.
Yeah. And you do that over and over, and it's great.
Murder. Blood.
Yeah, I love blood and guts. I have a boner for murder.
that's the quote.
Yeah, that's the quote. So yeah, that's fun. I'm gonna keep playing it.
After a quick Google, Ty, there were some vague promises made quite a while back, but I haven't seen any recent news about it. But it sounds like it's been in the works for a while, but they haven't announced anything official yet. That's what it seems. Right. Anyway.
right? Like, but, it was in like some trailer montage for indie games or something. Yeah.
It's Devolver Digital, isn't it?
That sounds right.
Won Troll of the Year last year at the Famies.
Oof.
Good times.
Yeah, so maybe I've been trolled. But,
right. Yeah.
I love the music to this game. I listen to it all the time. And that's before I even played it.
So there was Ty, have you heard of a game called Mr. Shifty?
Mr. Shifty.
I believe it's the same publisher and similar style. It's like a kind of hitman who can kind of like teleport like through walls and stuff like that. Like, it's very, very similar. I think you might like it.
Okay, yeah, maybe they wanted something a little more family friendly for the Switch.
I don't think it's family friendly. Oh well, yeah, compared to Hotline Miami, maybe. But like, yeah, I think Mr. Shifty is also violent and bloody, but maybe not as much as Miami.
Yeah, Hotline Miami is pretty edgy. Yeah, this other one's okay. Rated teen. So there you go.
There you go. Ah, that's interesting. Maybe it is something to do with that then. Is this like full hardcore?
No, I don't think so. There's another, what the heck? There's a game that just came out recently. I played it at TGS, Guns, Gore, and Cannoli. That is so fucking violent. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's 2D, like beautiful, you know, like 2D, like sprites, but you're like blowing people's arms off and stuff like that. Like,
oh, that's interesting. I've seen that on sale on Xbox a lot. I've passed it by many times.
It seems pretty cool.
Now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, it just came out here in Japan recently. I saw on the Switch eShop. So I was like, oh yeah, that game. I played that.
It's called Italian Family Connection in Japanese.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mr. Shifty looks a lot like Gauntlet, starring the Watchdog guy.
Absolutely. That's it.
Man, maybe I was right when I introduced this podcast at the beginning.
Yeah, all right, well, that's what I've been playing, other than, you know, all that stuff at Evo.
Yeah Okay, well, next we're going to move on to Now Playing at thefamicast.com. Now Playing at thefamicast.com. So.
You just said that.
Yes. Well, for the audio version, there was a little bit of a musical break there. If you're watching us on video, it's a little weird, so forgive
me. You just made it much weirder by explaining
that. Anyways, so.
And taking your shirt off at the same time. That made it even weirder.
Fuck. I thought you guys wanted to see my nips. Anyway. So, we
Rated
have.
M for mature.
It's the Famicast. So as I kind of talked about a little bit earlier in the show, we have a lot of reviews and video reviews going up. Some that I just got up recently, Blossom Tales. So you can check out a written and a video review on YouTube. So if you're so inclined, interested in learning a little bit more about that game, be sure to check out my review. And James, what else do we got? A lot of shit, I know that for sure.
Well, as Ty alluded to, we have a whole host of Evo stuff that went up. This was like a TGS in January kind of thing for us. It was like, you know, it was a big event for us, and we covered the shit out of it. So be sure to check out thefamicast.com for, like, you know, we've got a page where you can watch all the videos. You can just go to the YouTube channel, see them there as well. We've got a playlist if you want to watch them all. But we've got one which is like showing you what was on the show floor, if you want to get like a feeling of what it was like. We've got some interviews, interview of Omen of Sorrow, which is a fighting game, obviously. Is it Evo? Which I believe Ty talked about, like, you know, a few months back.
TGS.
Oh, it was TGS. Yes, yeah. The game that had like Saberwolf in it for some reason. interviewed the lead creator of that game and talked about its chances coming to Switch. So yeah, check that out. And also, like, well, Ty's going to talk about what else we got up to at Evo. Ty?
Oh boy, Well, I recorded most of what I did on the Championship Edition podcast that the Patreon patrons can get in on for the low, low price of $3, I believe.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. So at the show, I joined Tekken and Ranma One Half on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. For Gamer, the Japanese gaming site, did an article about it. And there's a picture of me in there.
Let's just cut to the chase. The article was solely about you. Trust me.
Yeah.
Right.
True story. Oh, yeah. And also, some of us were on the stream, the official Evo stream to hype things up.
I was standing in the background waving sometimes.
Yeah. I stole the show as usual.
Yes.
That's right. But the showpiece is your Ranma hard battle tournament.
Oh yes. Yeah. We stole the footage.
Right.
From the Japanese Twitch stream and we put it on YouTube.
That's right. But we also have like an edited version, like, because I think the full tournament was like 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
But what we did was we edited down just Ty's section, so you can actually just follow Ty's path as he goes through the tournament, see how far he gets, and like little interviews with Ty after each game, see how he was feeling, and then, you know, right up to the end, which I won't spoil.
Right, but, on. Yeah. Here's a hint, I don't get first.
How far does he get? Not first.
Pretty close. Spoilers.
He goes 2-0.
No, I don't go 2-0. Please believe me. Please, God, don't let me go 2-0.
You don't even like that game anyway, do you?
I don't even play this game.
What's Cyrus been up to?
Well, let me tell you, lads.
I seem to have been on mute. Yeah. But... So recently James has been doing the Lord's work and he's been filling up our Amazon.com store with official Famicast t-shirts, swag you and your family can and should be wearing.
Right.
So there's a bunch of different types going up right now with just straight logo with some pixel arts. So it's right now it's only US, so you can only buy these things if you're US listeners, but buy them anyway. Find a way.
Call your friends, your American friends. That's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out a way for me to get one of those shirts at some point because I wanna wear some of that fancy mic. It's a nice logo. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, you made it, so.
Yeah. I'm just saying, love who you are, and the stuff you make.
I'm just waiting for the frightening photo of someone wearing tie on their t-shirt. It's gonna happen. Other than Ty, obviously.
Signed by the Ranma Half development team.
Man, I give a prize to someone who buys a pink version of Ty's t-shirt and then takes a photo of themselves. I give them a prize.
They'll buy you 10 pink ones if you buy one.
Yeah. I'll double that if they're arrested and placed on television.
Bad boys, bad boys.
You can find all this and more at thefamicast.com. All right, James, I think you know what time it is right now, man.
No. It can't be time for the Japanese. Can it?
Oh man, there it is. Absolutely. The old bait and switch.
Get ya.
Man.
I was just thinking about that latest Chappelle stand-up with the punchline that he has at the end of one of them. I'm not going to repeat it here. So the Famicast Blessing, as it's now been retitled to, because, you know, after every episode, we give you the gift of a Nintendo Direct. Question mark.
Did you do the hand motion? Did you do the hand motion?
Is it called a direct? It's not called a direct. Is it? It is called it. It wasn't a direct. What happened again?
So there was a lot of...
It's quite a while back now, isn't it?
Yeah, geez. So it's just like the shareholders meeting is what happened.
Right.
And just basically like a lot of like, sometimes just tweets from Nintendo, sometimes actually, you know, questions and stuff like that actually coming from the shareholder meeting just in general. So yeah.
Cheesemeister was there typing away.
Yes.
He was in the board meeting with everyone.
Absolutely. Right. Maybe he wasn't. I have no idea.
He was.
Yes. So I guess the first thing, let's talk about this first. So this is something that came out rather early on, but I mean, something that should have been in place already, but it's not. But the Nintendo Switch Online service is officially set to be coming out in September of this year. No really details other than that were given. Just to kind of recap some of the previous info that has been...
I was going to say, you're not listening to Famicast 82. Mm-hmm. This is a Famicast 119, okay? Because I'm sure that's what we said, you know, this time last year.
Yeah.
At this exact time, you know, they said the same thing. It'll release in September of 2017, you know?
Yeah.
Or was it like autumn of 2017 or something like that, right?
They said fall, but...
And whatever. Then they said it's going to cost this amount and it's going to have, you know, these features. And then and it's like, oh, now it's September 2018 and it's going to cost this much and it's going to have these features. They haven't updated it at all. All they've done is just added an extra number to the year.
Pretty much.
It's weird. You know, usually when people fuck up like deadlines or like, you know, big features or big events, you know, they make up for it by giving you more stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, we delayed it by a year, but we're now going to have this, this, and this. You know, you didn't know about this. You know, Nintendo didn't do that. They're like, yeah, let's just copy and paste what we said last year.
Well, as you know, James, it's a Japanese company. This is a pretty normal thing. It's like, yeah, we fucked up, but sorry, you're just kind of shit out of luck. You lost all your money in your bank account? Well, sucks. Sorry.
Shit bow.
It's over.
That's right. Yeah, if this was a video thing, you'd have to give at least a 90-degree bow for this.
Yeah.
All the cameras flashing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, seriously.
That's a very Japanese. That's a very in joke. You have to really have lived in Japan to get that.
Yeah, but it's like it's so accurate.
Yes.
Yeah. But basically, anytime any Japanese, you know, chairman or company fucks up, they go onto TV. They do a 90-degree bow. All these camera flashes go off, and they stay there for about, I don't know, 20 seconds, literally with their head down.
Yeah, and then, dude, my wife was watching the news the other day, and okay, this has nothing to do with video games, but bear with me. Like, same type of thing. Some dude had like been cheating on his wife, and he'd been separated from her for like, I don't know, 5 years, but he got caught. So when this happens in Japan, these celebrities have to go on TV and apologize and answer like all these questions. But I remember the guy just walked into the room, and you just hear. Just like, you know, fucking right. Seizure City. And the guy even like commented when he went in the room, he's like, whoa, like, kind of like, holy shit.
not really the best thing to say when you're going in to apologize. Yeah. Hey, what's with all the flashes?
Yeah. Hey, no, I think he said, oh, suge. Like, whoa, cool. Not even like, you know, it's just like, wow.
Right.
But anyway,
I love this. I love especially When it's one of those celebrities, but they don't want to apologize themselves to like their mother or their father or someone comes in to bow and apologize on their behalf.
So. Man, we really are going into life in Japan mode here. But like, yeah, if like a son of a celebrity does something, it's usually the dad or the mom that apologizes, not the person who did it. It's weird. Yeah. So yeah, Nintendo Switch Online. Kimishima comes in, 90-degree bow, camera flashes go off.
Oh, that's going to be in September when it doesn't deliver.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's when they announce Balloon Fight. That's when they have to apologize.
As the only game, the only classic game that's going to be on their service.
So, is there anything new?
No, there is absolutely nothing new. I mean, again, price is like $20, you know. Basically, I mean, they're touting, oh, you can invite friends, do all this stuff.
That's the weird thing. It's like invite friends and voice chat over an app, which has already been released and it's terrible and everyone hates it.
Yeah.
So like if they'd said, we're going to totally update the app. We're going to completely rethink what we did. You know, that would make more sense. But it's like, so, I mean, it's still only a Splatoon app, basically. It's weird. Like, even other online games like Mario Kart or ARMS are not part of it. It's first party and it's online and it's not part of it. It just makes no sense whatsoever.
It's weird. I mean, I think I've talked about this before too. I mean, what they need to do, I don't think they'll do this. I mean, they need to make this an all-inclusive thing, not just checking out like this type of stuff. Make it so you can see, you know, your time that you've played it, not having to use a stupid ass parental app.
Exactly.
See who the hell's online, you know.
Before this was actually released, I had this envision that it was going to be like an all-inclusive thing. You know, it's going to have, you know, the eShop on it as well. You know what I mean? Like, you can just buy games on it and get it, you know, sent to your Switch, so it's downloaded when you get home, which is what PlayStation has, right?
Yeah, you can do that on Switch if you go to the website. You can do that.
Yeah, go to, you know, www.nintendo.co.jp. Yeah, you can do that, but, you know, it's not really the same thing, is it? You know, having, like, you know, pop-up reminders and stuff like, you know, have it more integrated into your smartphone, like, you know, da-ding, this game, you put it on your watch list, and then it pops up on your, you know, your smartphone, this game is now available to download. You know, that would make more sense, right? So
or this game's on sale, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you get emails from freaking Steam all the time. It's like, this game that you watched is now on sale. It's like, it's just such an obvious thing to have, isn't it?
The emails we get from Nintendo are, your points are expiring.
Yeah.
The fuck am I supposed to buy with these?
It's like, why are you not spending your points, man? I mean, you got all these gold points. Why are you not spending them? Because there's nothing to fucking spend them on. never get tired of screenshotting that email. It's still coming soon, isn't it?
Yep.
Switch still coming soon. Hilarious.
It came out in March last year.
Right, yeah, we're coming up to the 1 year anniversary, yeah. So some people are speculating that the September thing could be to coincide with like a Smash Brothers release or something big, something online and big that would, you know, make sense to have all this launching at the same time. But I don't know. Probably, maybe. But this like classic game collection, classic games with online play.
Yeah.
I mean, that does sound interesting, but like Balloon Fight, Dr. Mario, ooh. These are probably like the NES versions. It's like,
what gear is it?
Yeah, no thanks. Super Mario 3, that's a weird one to have online multiplayer.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's lit. The wizard. Yeah. Remember, you could play two-player Mario Bros. On the world map.
Okay. So, but in terms of like playing through the game, you just take turns. Like one person dies, and then it's your turn, right?
Well, for this, though, they didn't specify that it's going to be like simultaneous multiplayer. I mean, it could just be something as little as just, you know, online leaderboards or something.
Speedrun race.
Yeah. Oh, that was added to Meat Boy, wasn't it? The Switch version of Meat Boy had a two-player race mode. Ty, I don't know if you knew that.
Huh, no, that's neat.
You can actually just play like on the same system. You can actually just like, you know, race your friend. I think it's going to be added to the other versions later. But... So, yeah. I really don't know what to say about this. It's almost like non-news, isn't it?
Yeah, that's probably enough on that.
Next
one, though, this is a little bit more significant, but then again, it's almost the same type of news. So Mario Kart Tour, a new version of Mario Kart for the smartphone, has been announced. It's set to be coming out before March 2019.
Before the end of the fiscal year of March 20th. Yeah, the really specific terminology they kept saying about it.
Yes. So it's 31st of March 2019. Brilliant. Yeah,
please,
I mean, no. This is disturbing. I mean, what could this game be? I mean, every single thing I try and imagine just horrifies me.
Yeah.
Like, is it like a tilt-based thing? Is it just a thing that, I don't know, what is it? I just can't imagine anything good from this.
It's in the style of Super Nintendo Mario Kart, but you're not even...
Motion control.
You're not even controlling it. You're just... You have to wait time, and then your guys just, you know, move a little bit further. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a clicker game.
Yeah. It's a Telltale adventure game.
Horrifying. Absolutely horrifying. I mean, this is going to be like, oh, man. Can anyone think of a good Mario Kart game on a smartphone?
No. I don't want to play Mario Kart on smartphones.
Please, no.
Seriously. The only possible thing this could be good is if they release a proper Mario Kart game on Switch, which I don't think they're going to do. I don't know. They're kind of done. They only do one per system cycle, and they went out, you know, almost at launch with a Mario Kart game. So that could be it, I think. But like, I don't know. I mean, man, something that everyone's always asked for is like, you know, what do you call it? Like a Smash Kart, you know? So it's not really like Mario Kart, but it's kind of like, you know, this, I don't know, in the vein of it, you know?
All the Nintendo characters.
Yeah, exactly. And so let's say they do a Smash Kart. They do a proper sequel to Mario Kart or whatever side sequel or whatever you want to call it. And then this integrates with that, you know, kind of like what the Animal Crossing game is going to do. Like they're making a new Animal Crossing game for Switch. And well, I guess it's already out, but you know, they could easily update Animal Crossing, whatever the smartphone version's called. No one can remember it, can they?
Yeah. I quit playing after like the first day.
What the? Happy Camp or whatever it is.
Pocket Camp.
Yes. Yeah. Like the Switch version probably will coordinate with that in some way. I'm sure they'll update it to do that. Because that was always their goal, wasn't it? These smartphone games were supposed to encourage people to play real video games, right? Like this is a garbage game for garbage people who don't play video games. But if you like this, you might actually like a real game on a real video game system, you know. So like Super Mario Run, you know, people were, you know, interested in playing Mario games, you know. So I think there was like an uptake in like, you know, Mario game sales on like 3DS or something around about the month it came out, something like that, right?
Yeah. Same thing happened with Pokemon too.
Yeah, Pokemon, then people started buying Sun and Moon, like sold gangbusters, you know, around about the time of Pokemon Go came out. Fire Emblem, not quite sure about that one.
They haven't had a really, like, a proper Fire Emblem release. Right. Since.
Yeah, Echoes, but I mean, it's...
Well, they had not Hyrule Warriors, Fire Emblem.
Warriors, yeah.
But it's not Warriors, is it? It's called whatever it's called.
No, Heroes. It's Warriors. Yeah. Heroes is a smartphone one.
Okay, there you go. So, yeah, Fire Emblem Warriors, that came out. I don't know how well it did, but yeah, good luck to them. Apparently, are we going to talk about that later? About the smartphone sales? Apparently, like, you know, the Fire Emblem one was like getting the most money.
Yeah.
Because it's got all that kind of garbage gacha stuff that Japanese people like, put up with, / still pay money towards it, even though they don't like it. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. Addicted to, yeah. Some of my students are still playing that. It's crazy. I don't get it.
Yeah,
people on Twitter, like, yeah, Western people on Twitter, they're like, oh, it's all just random element. It's all about collecting all the characters. It's like, oh, I got a 5-star Lucina. Whatever.
I never got a 5-star character. I mean, after I went through like the initial story stuff that they released, I was like, all right, this is cool. And then the next day the Switch came out. So I was like, okay, I'm done. It's like perfect timing.
I think I deleted the app about 2 minutes after I inputted Cyrus's friend code. Nothing against Cyrus. It's just like just the fact that I had to enter a friend code. And it's like, oh, cool. I'm now friends with Cyrus and I hate myself. I'm not going to delete it.
A lot of people have that feeling after they
have their
friend codes.
Right.
You know, honestly, I liked the Fire Emblem game on mobile. I thought it was fine. I mean, I didn't pay any money or anything. I had good enough time with it for the price I paid, nothing. So,
yeah, I see some Twitter pals still having fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely like it's a solid game built in there, but.
Are they playing the game part of it though, or are they just doing repetitive things to get gems so they can get more characters?
I don't know. I'm not going to play the game and find out.
Like, that's the repetitive suspicion. Action of playing the game is playing the game. Like, you have to do strategy game maps over and over and over.
Okay, but you're just repeating stuff you've already done before.
Yeah, it's got, like, it gives you, like, a random map from a pool of whatever, and you just can grind out quests or whatever.
See, this is why all smartphone games are garbage. It's all based around doing a repetitive task so you can get something and then do it all again. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, tasks you would not do normally if you weren't getting a gacha fix at the end of it.
Exactly. Speed up boring task by paying money or do boring task more to get stuff, you know. Weird. So I'm sure Mario Kart Tour will do well. You know, lots of people will download it and then lots of people will delete it afterwards, like every single Nintendo smartphone app that they've released so far.
Yes.
unless they have some cruel monetary, you know, aspect to it that, you know, addicts people.
Yeah.
Good luck to them.
Well, next up here, Switch sales numbers. There's a lot of information that came out about this, as I'm sure all of you out there are aware. Switch has officially surpassed the Wii U in sales. The Switch numbers as of December 31st, 2017, 14.86 million units versus the Wii U 13.56. So pretty strong first few months.
It's like you're 13-year-old brother being taller than you when you're like 25.
Yeah.
Like, how are you already bigger than me? You're only 13.
You could grow a beard. I'm like, you know, 33. I can't even do that.
That's right. It's like your younger brother buying you beers.
Yeah.
He looks older than you.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. Sorry, what were we talking about? Switch sales. They're doing well. So, is this on track? It's on track. A little bit ahead of GameCube as well, isn't it? Or like, it's going to bypass GameCube maybe somewhere in the middle of this year or later this year?
If it still keeps at the same pace, yeah. GameCube's like almost 22 million or something like that, so.
Yeah, so maybe like before Christmas it'll have passed GameCube, and then the next thing to hit is like, is it Wii? I mean, good luck getting to Wii sales. But it might do. It might do. Wii's like 100 million, isn't it?
Like over 100 million. I mean, you know, one interesting kind of statistic that came out of here too, the Switch is the fastest selling console as of units shipped in Nintendo history, even surpassing the Wii at like during the same time frame. Like the Wii, it sold 13.717 million in the same time frame.
And it could have been more if they'd had enough of them round about at the end of last year, right?
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess we can officially say, you know, now Switch is no longer impossible to find. You can actually go into a shop and get one. I actually saw secondhand ones for sale. Like, I saw like a Mario Odyssey pack. I don't think I saw a Splatoon one, but I saw like regular ones and a Mario Odyssey pack. And even what's it called? The My Nintendo Store version?
Yeah.
The one that comes in the fancy red box. I saw all of those just in the glass case available to buy for normal price, like, you know, like 32,000 whatever. It wasn't like reduced, you know, it's not that crazy. It was like regular price, so which is, you know, it's amazing to think that, you know, just 3 or 4 months ago that would have been just insane, you know. That would have been marked up to 50,000-60,000 yen easily, and people would have bought it, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, some other little numbers here, too. Just for the third quarter alone, the Switch sold right around 7 million units. The 3DS also, too. No slouch. It sold about 3 million units. And I don't have this written down here in the agenda, but for the Super Nintendo Classic Mini, I think I heard numbers like that sold somewhere around the lines of like 4 million units or something.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So that's pretty crazy. And, yeah, Amiibo also, you know, per usual. It doesn't seem like they should be selling as well as they are, but according to Nintendo, the cards and figures sold 9.3 million units in this quarter.
All Zelda ones.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
But yeah, they're also available, Cyrus. I don't know if you're not interested in buying Zelda amiibos for Breath of the Wild, are you, Cyrus?
I want to, but I cannot afford them.
Okay, I was going to say they're everywhere I go now. It's just like they're all there. The full set are there now at regular price.
Cool.
Right.
Someday, someday.
Yeah, I was going to say the Amiibo cards, not the gray area ones that my friend has. The actual cards.
Right, yeah. Those
where the profits go to Nintendo. Yes. I'm assuming those are the ones we're talking about.
Yes. I don't think they keep track of sales of those. But your buddies.
on Etsy. The Etsy sales are out the roof.
Never know. There's some software numbers here too. So this is actually pretty alarming about how well some of the Switch games sold. So starting from the bottom, Xenoblade 2, in less than a month out on the market, it's already up at 1.06 million. ARMS, 1.6. 1-2 Switch, almost 1.9 million. Splatoon 2, almost 5 million units, and over 2 million of those are from just Japan alone. Like, the game is just crazy.
Yeah. Additionally, another more amazing thing for that 2 million, you think, 2 million, big deal. But I think that was the first console game to sell 2 million units on any console in the past decade. Yes. Like, no console game was... That's weird. No console game has sold over 2 million in Japan for 10 years? That seems weird. Like, you would think, like, a Dragon Quest game would have sold, like, 20 million or something like that, right?
Oh.
But, yeah.
Dragon Quest X came out pretty late in the Wii's life cycle. And they probably got around a million or something, maybe less. It's, I don't know. And then after that, PS4 stuff, Xbox One, rip. they get sales, but nothing usually that high.
That was really surprising to me. Like the last Dragon Quest game, Dragon Quest 11, which is still not out on Switch. It's still anticipated, but not out yet. Next.
So then next after that, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, 6.7 million copies worldwide. Allegedly, the Wii U version has sold about 1.24 million around the world. Then going up from there, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, 7.33 million. And the top-selling Nintendo Switch title is none other than Super Mario Odyssey, over 9 million sold.
Wow. I actually have the is that done for that, the sales bit?
Yeah, that's it.
I do actually have the Famitsu's Most Wanted. I like going through those.
Sure.
We have had a little bit of a change. This is for the end of January, the Famitsu Most Wanted. So these are just, votes handed in by, Famitsu readers. And we actually have some non-Nintendo games on.
Oh.
Because I remember it was just kind of embarrassing. It was like 20 out of 20 games were like Nintendo Switch games. It's not the case now. So we have a lot of PS4 games on now. So the top, in the top 20, 10 to 20, we only have Kirby Star Allies, or Star Allies, the interchangeable in Japan. Choosy poison. That's at 15. And then Shin Megami Tensei 5 is at 13. So those are the only two in the top, 10 to 20. And then the top 10, at number 7 is Persona Q2 on the 3DS. Jesus Christ. Give it up, people. Persona Q2 is at number 7, 3DS. And then number 6 is Dragon Quest XI on the Switch.
Hmm.
So, people are still anticipating the Nintendo Switch version, even though the 3DS and PS4 versions have been out for freaking ages by now.
Right.
And then that's it. That's the only Nintendo games. The rest of them are like Super Robot Wars, PS4, Dragon Dynasty Warriors, or Dynasty Warriors, 9 on PS4, Kingdom Hearts 3, Hokuto ga Gotoku, and then Final Fantasy VII Remake is the most anticipated, most wanted game in Japan. A remake of Final Fantasy VII. Good luck to them. So Dragon Quest is still there. Because like everything's come out, everything that people wanted.
Yeah,
apart from Kirby and Dragon Quest, everything's out. So
yeah.
That's weird.
Well, after E3, there'll be a whole new slew of Nintendo games are going to be probably unveiled, so that'll change that list.
I'm sure there are going to be lots of games that are going to sell well, like Dark Souls, you know, that'll probably sell well in Japan. People are not really going crazy excited of it, but I'm sure it'll sell.
They have like a fucking $500 set that you can buy. Right. PlayStation 4. It's like the remaster and then the older versions of 2 and 3 and books and statues. And it's crazy.
And then the last bit of news we have is, well, it's not really Japanese, but it's a Splatoon 2. The next Splatfest is a European-only one. And it's Gherkins, which is pickles for you, Danny and Ty. Pickles in burgers, delicious or disgusting? I went with disgusting.
Good choice.
Okay.
The only choice.
Cool. I think they're delicious.
Okay. Oh, okay. I feel like I'm kind of an odd person. Like, it seems to me like a lot of Americans like pickles on burgers. I just hate pickles in general. I just don't like them.
What the fuck is a gherkin?
Yeah, that's what I thought when I first saw that.
That was so European. Like, when I saw that, I was like, yeah, I can see why this is European only. Because, like, I don't know, pickle might have a slightly different meaning in England. Like, pickles. I don't know. Pickles. Because we have, like, Branston pickle, which is, like, a kind of like a chutney thing that we put on sandwiches and stuff.
I don't even know what you just said.
Yeah, exactly. but in Japan, pickles means like, you know, like mono. It's like, you know, it's like, yeah, it's like pickled cucumber, there's pickled, I don't know, whatever, just loads of pickles.
Pickled herring, pickled wooden shoes.
Pickle anything.
Yeah.
Pickle ring.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes.
I think in certain situations, if it's a nice pickle and it's a nice burger and it's done well, and of course I'm talking veggie burgers, like I might sometimes like a pickle, but like in general they're not really very good. I'd rather just have it without it. So yeah, me and Cyrus are going to be fighting for disgusting, and we're hopefully going to get another couple of people to join us in the Splatfest, and we will fight for disgusting team.
And we will win.
And we will win. Unfortunately, we can't be joined by Danny and Matt, who are both Japan.
Yes.
And we don't know the Japan Splatfest at the time of recording. Yeah. It's weird how they do it. Like, sometimes they do it, like, by region, and they rotate through the regions, and then other times they just do global ones all at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, and I found something really interesting. One of our Australian listeners told me that Australia has this really weird system. I always assume Australia was with the PAL regions, with the, you know, the European regions. But apparently with the Switch, like, they have American Splatfests in Australia. Yeah, which is really weird. But like when they're playing online, obviously their time zones sync with Japan. So when they're playing like just regular matchups, it's almost exclusively Japanese people. But then in the Splatfests, they're on the American servers, and obviously the time zones are so different, like no one's on. So they can't play with anyone. So like, man, rip Australia, that sucks.
It's weird.
Well, I guess because you wouldn't be able, because if Australians would probably rather be on the Japanese Splatfest, but then obviously you've got the cultural differences and the language differences, so they'd be like, why are we fighting for noodle companies? You know, and they would have to translate all that and everything. It just wouldn't make sense, would it?
Kirin Ichiban Shibori versus Asahi Super Dry.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Which ones would you choose, Australians? Please tell us. So, yeah, that was a fascinating thing that I learned about the Australian version of Splatoon 2. Rip and peace.
Yeah.
You can never play with anyone.
Yeah. It's so weird.
And I'm sure the Australian internet connections are, you know, awesome to play with Americans too.
Yeah.
Okay. Next.
Cool. Section. Yeah, well, actually, that does it for the news. So let's go ahead and move on to some feedback. And if you want to have your email, comments, criticism, bitch, complaints read out on the air.
Would you call me?
Yes. No, actually, I had a professor in college. Every time at the end of class, he said, questions, bitches, complaints. Every time he said that, it just stuck with me.
Then he dropped the mic and walked out.
Basically, because no one's like, what? Anyways, if you have any of those, feel free to email us, thefamicast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter @thefamicast, Facebook, The Famicast, YouTube, right here. Look for The Famicast. It's a theme. You can find us. So, James, what type of stuff do we got this time?
Feedback. Mm-hmm. We got feedback.
Yes.
So let's do Twitter first. Many drives at MookieEX57. He says, page in the Famicast. And he linked us up to a article on theinquisitor.com. And the headline of the news article was, Japanese Space Agency is offering $3,500 to volunteers willing to spend 14 days in a simulated space station, i.e. on Earth. It's not a real space station. So I guess he's asking which one of us would do it. And Ty's, I don't even need to ask Ty.
Hell yeah.
Would Ty be locked away for 14 days without human contact for $3,500?
Hell, I'd do it for free.
Yeah, I think I do that regularly for free.
I was going to say, put a Killer Instinct cabinet in there and she'll be fine. Danny?
It depends on who I depends on who I'd be with.
Ty. And your wife's on the other side, you know, through a plate glass window, and he can't talk to her.
Ty, do you snore?
No.
I do. It's gonna be a really rough week, man.
I fight in my sleep.
That's interesting. I wonder I mean I'm sure they've just got like lines of hikikomori just lined up. It's like, I'll do it.
Yeah, it seemed, after reading the article, it seemed like it's a pretty competitive type of a thing. I forgot how they determine.
Oh, right. I guess you'd have to be fit as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you actually have to do a lot of work, apparently. Yeah. It says do tasks.
Okay. Ooh.
And I remember there was a previous International Space Station incident where like they were being severely overworked and they literally had a strike. Yeah, like everybody on the space station just stopped working for one day.
Strike.
Yeah. Huh.
On the Japanese space station?
I think it was an international group.
Simulation thing, right? Not the real one.
No, the real one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, yeah. The Americans and Europeans were on strike. The Japanese were still working hard and faxing stuff back to headquarters.
Of course they were.
They faxed if they could have permission to strike, and then the boss said, no, you may not strike. And they said, yes, sir. And they kept working. True story. So that's how strikes work in Japan. You ask permission from the boss.
And the boss does that...
That's difficult. We're thinking of starting a union so we can get better pay. Ooh, I'd rather you didn't. I'd really rather you wouldn't do that. Okay, you're the boss. We're laughing. We're crying inside.
Yep.
Next is Ryan Modolo, friend of the show. He says, awesome. Oh, okay. I guess you need context. He won the this was a competition. Oh my goodness. Cyrus ran a competition to win a code for a game called Gunhouse, and Ryan won. Let's try that again. Awesome. Thanks guys for this Gunhouse code. It is literally the first thing I've ever won. You're welcome, Ryan. Hope you enjoy it. Seriously. Tell us if you enjoy it.
Yeah, I haven't heard back from any of those since I gave the codes out. I'm sure they're all enjoying it so much they haven't had a chance.
That's right. We have neither of their families. Neither have they heard back from them in a while. Next up is a friend of the show. I'm sure you'll love that. Russ Greeno. He says, great stuff. A new episode of the Famicast appears just in time for my house cleaning chores, which I do naked, which is unusual. But thanks for writing in, Russ, to tell us that. Next up is from YouTube. Quite a long comment here. Chesumori. Chizumori. I know, I read that in a very Japanese way, didn't I? Chesumori. I'd assume like lots of like people who like Japan or people who can speak a little bit of Japanese would listen to this podcast, but maybe not. He says, oh my goodness, what was this? What video was this attached to? The Dragon, Dragon Quest Builders. Yeah, I did a Let's Play of the Dragon Quest Builders demo, like the first hour of the game, basically. He says, I've been aware of Dragon Quest Builders game since 2015, but despite being a big Dragon Quest fan and the kind of person that really enjoys building in Minecraft, this didn't pique my interest until I played the demo over the weekend. Building a town for people and being sent on quests is just very different from playing just Minecraft. This demo served its purpose. This is now a day one purchase for me. So yeah, I kind of felt the same actually. Like, I mean, I'm not a Dragon Quest fan or a Minecraft fan. I think I said that last episode. And I said it on the stream as well. Like, but yeah, like it's a really good demo because you can do a lot and you can save your progress. I don't know if that saving that progress goes into the main game though, unfortunately. That would be quite annoying to put like, you know, two, three, 4 hours into it and then you have to do it all again. Yeah, you probably will have to do that. But yeah, man, I forgot that came out in 2015 on PS4.
Yeah.
And Vita as well, I think.
Vita, yes. That's right.
I don't know if it was cross-buy or no. You had to buy both versions.
No, it's Japan. No, hell no.
Oh, yeah, it's Japan. I'm sorry. Yeah, buy one, get one for 100% price. is the usual Japanese offer, isn't it?
Perfect.
That's right. 100 yen for a can of Coke or 600 yen for six cans of Coke. Absolute bargain. Again, laughing on the outside, crying in the middle. Next is Russ Greeno. Never heard of him. this video was... Oh, yeah, the Overcooked gameplay video that I put up with me playing with my students, but with a muted mic because the audio got fucked up. He was asking, like, how do you tell which chef you are? Because it looked a little bit crazy, like all these people running around and they all look quite similar. You can actually choose the same character as well in Overcooked. Okay. So you can all be cat. You can actually be a cat.
Huh, okay.
Ty, pique your interest?
Hell yeah, cat drugs.
You can actually be a cat in a wheelchair. It sounds like a joke. Yeah, you can be a disabled cat.
That's me.
And I don't know what... I don't know the answer to this, actually, because, like, you can't tell. They don't have, like, a... You would expect to have, like, a... Because you have, on the character select screen, you have, like, a color assigned to you. Mm-hmm. But in the game, I don't think it has a color around you. So it's literally you don't know. You just... And now I think about it, there were times when I actually didn't know which character I was, when you're all, like, bunched together and you're all, like, swarming around the frying pan or something like that. Mm-hmm. You can actually lose your character sometimes. You know, it's like, you know, all playing as Kirby in Smash Brothers and the camera's zoomed out like, you know, 5,000 miles away. You know, it's kind of like that feeling sometimes. But, you know, it's all adds to the chaos and the fun. Next, we'll move on to Patreon comments, exclusive comments. Special comments from our lovely patrons. This is from Joel, who's been on the show because he was a big backer and he got some cool pixel art drawn by Cyrus because he paid for it and he's been on the show and it's awesome when we love him. Mm-hmm. And he keeps saying nice things about us, even though we love him more than he loves us. He says, hey guys, just wanted to say thanks for all the work you guys put into the Famicast. I'm always excited to see a new episode released. It's like hanging out with friends. Game on. P.S. And I asked permission from Joel before I said, is it okay to say this on the show? And he said, yes. He says, we are expecting our second baby in July. So congratulations, Joel. That is fantastic news. And if you want to call him James, you know, feel free. I'm not saying you have to, but you know, if you want to listen to the show, you kind of have to, don't you?
Yeah.
It'd be weird to listen to the show and not call him your second child, James. Yep. Regardless of gender. It would be very bohemian, though.
Can't wait to take control about that.
So, yeah, if you want to send in some comments to this show, thefamicast@gmail.com, if you want to write an email. We don't get many emails. People tend to like the Twitters,
yeah,
and stuff like that. You know, we don't mind. Either way is good. But, yeah, keep them coming in. Any questions? Yeah, life in Japan questions would be good.
Yeah.
Keep them coming. We didn't get any questions about Valentine's Day in Japan. It's almost Valentine's Day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Valentine's Day in Japan. Danny.
This is when the guys get chocolate from the girls?
Correct.
Okay, got it right. Because White Day is coming up. It's just around the corner, guys. You better.
That's racist.
Sorry.
Yeah, we celebrate how amazing white people are. No. No, we don't do that. Please, no one do that. Yeah. You know, like, Valentine's Day in Japan is completely sexist. Like, if you've got, for women, it's like the worst time ever. Because, like, for example, if you're in an office and there's, like, let's say 10 guys and 2 women, those 2 women will buy chocolate for every single guy in the office, including the boss and people that they hate. You know, the stinky guy that's sitting next to them that they'd rather they would, you know, not sit next to. She's going to buy chocolates for the whole team. And then they'll say, oh, thank you very much. And they'll scoff them down and they'll enjoy them. And they'll say, oh, yeah, yeah. And in a month from now, it's White Day. I'll give you some candy then, right? They don't do that. They forget. They don't do that. Like, maybe like one of those 10 guys will buy her candy on the 14th of March, which is called White Day. And then... that's it. And that's Valentine's Day in Japan. Like, yeah. Literally the worst day ever if you're a woman, but the best day ever if you're a guy. We're all guys, so woohoo! Keep it coming, chocolate. Give me the chocolate. I'll give you nothing.
I usually don't get anything at work. That's fine.
Oh, yeah, girl, give me the chocolate.
Yeah, and there's absolutely no emotion, no love, or, you know, nothing sexual at all.
Yeah, it's called Giri chocolate. It's like the obligation chocolate that you're supposed to give to people.
Yeah, exactly. That girl giving chocolates to the 10 guys in her office, she doesn't want to. She just has to because she's a woman in Japan. And that's what she has to do.
We're in the wrong line of business, guys.
What, in the chocolate resellers business?
Yeah, dude.
Yep. Right about this time.
Okay, get to work on that Famicast chocolate design, Cyrus.
Yeah, there we go. I'm sure there's a company that, like, you know, would make chocolate in the shape of stuff that you want.
Homework. Okay, seriously, we need to look into this. We need to have some, like, cool foil, like, shape in the shape of the microphone. It's going to be boss. It's going to be on sale at the end of next month. And it's only, I'll tell you what, it's only going to be 999 yen a bar. Get pumped, people.
So all the women on the Famicast have to buy us the chocolate. Man, it's such a sausage fest, this podcast, isn't it? how many women have been on the, like, 119 episodes? How many women? We had one, Seren. That's it.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's about it.
If there are any women listening, probably not.
There aren't. It's okay.
Send help.
Right.
Mom, you don't count. Oh, wait, you're not even listening either.
Right. Are there any non-white, non-male people listening? You know, write in.
Yes. Please. I'm generally
I'm really generally interested. Like, this is not a whites only podcast, but it certainly feels like it sometimes. Jesus.
Oh boy.
You white people disgust me, honestly.
White people.
So yeah, Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Great if you're a guy, not so much if you're a woman, a Japanese woman. Yeah, I wonder what Western women do when they're in Japan. I'm sure they don't do that. Western women wouldn't do that, would they? While they're here.
I have a female friend that is a Western woman. I should ask her what she does. Yeah. I'll report back. Probably not on this podcast. I'll probably forget after this.
Flip the bird to the guy who asks, you know, well, where's my chocolate? You know,
yeah.
It's like, I don't like you. Fuck yeah. You.
Pretty much normal for people I talk to, but.
Yeah. Yeah, regardless if it's Valentine's Day or not.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I think that's a wrap.
Yes. Yeah, that's all for today. No, seriously, thank you guys for listening out there. Oh, God, one other thing I want to remind you of. Please give us reviews if you haven't done so on iTunes, Google Play,
right,
wherever the hell you can do reviews. Leave us a review.
It's getting depressing. We get this monthly email from like iTunes. You have 0 new reviews. It's depressing every month reading that email. Come on.
So if you haven't done it, you're thinking right now, it's like, man, I really want to do a review for the Family Cast. I want to give him 5 stars. Danny's so handsome. Cyrus has a great bandana. Ty's glasses are cool. James is there. You know? You want to say
that? I'd accept that. I accept that as a review.
I mean, you want to say
5-star review. James is there.
You want to say all of these things. What you need to do is just put your phone, whatever, down right now. Computer, throw it in the trash. Well, no, pick it back up. Oh, leave a review. Do these things. It really helps for like visibility for people trying to, you know, find something new to listen to, which hopefully will be us.
Right? And if you're an American Android user, you can do Google Play as well.
Yes.
Very specific, isn't it? We cater to the Americans a lot on this show, don't we?
We do.
Only Americans can buy t-shirts. Only Americans can review us on Google Play.
Well, the chocolate's going to be exclusive to Japan, so don't worry.
Oh, there you go. Balances it out. Stitcher, I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah, you can't get chocolate through there.
No, but like, is that available in every country or is that American only as well?
No, you can, pretty sure you can use that anywhere.
Facebook, that's American only, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, that's all for us today. We're going to go ahead and close out with our Twitter handles. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can. It's Danny Bivens at Danny Biv, BannyBiv. James.
I'm at Family Complicated. I changed it. Nintendo Labia wasn't doing anything for me. I lost all my followers.
Yeah. Well, that's the type of followers you wanted, maybe. Or maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, people have sort of gone in a new direction.
Yes. Ty.
I'm Super Cat Drugs.
Again?
No spaces. Yeah.
How many Z's?
All of them.
Okay, there it is. And yeah. Cyrus.
You can find me at Celsi, where I muse about still being alive in a post-flu world.
As James would say, good luck to you.
Yeah. All right. Look at the Irish to you. You should have it. What's wrong? You lost it.
Everyone says the Irish are lucky, but you know, if you look at our history, it hasn't been great.
That's the joke.
Stick around for the next episode of the podcast where we delve deep into this topic. But until then, we will catch you guys later.
Rated M for mature.
Bye.
That's got to be the episode title now.